fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to the Maker's Method podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm your host, Darren Moser, a.k.a. Dr. Sci-Fi, and I'm joined, as always, by Derek Young of Van Oaks Props. And again, we're back. Is that how we're going to introduce every new episode now?
I think. I don't really know.
You know, when we started this podcast way back in June of 2021, we hit some episodes out of the gate. We're doing pretty well of doing a weekly show for about almost a year, it seemed. Yeah. And then life just got really, really busy. And now, apparently, we've been averaging one episode every 2 months. So, I know you have had a very busy plate. It's been busy all over. And while it doesn't, you know, it's still only like an hour a week, but it's sometimes that's still all the difference in what there has to be done.
Yeah, for sure. And I think trying to come up with different things to talk about that's going to feel like it would be interesting to people is probably the most challenging thing after both of us have spent a day or weeks doing our regular jobs, like using all of our brain power to be super awesome at those things. And every couple of months we sit down for a few minutes, we catch our breath, we come up with an idea just before we hit record, and
like true good podcasters do.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm still enjoying, you know, when we are able to record our discussions, and while we don't have any plans on stopping, you know, we're not going to quite commit to an exact schedule since we're still feeling it out. And that happens with a lot of podcasts. They evolve, you know, they change. I think we enjoyed kind of our topic of the week format. I know we were trying to prevent it from becoming a what are you working on, you know, episode every single time, but that's often what is interesting to talk about. And we've had some great guests. So, yeah, we're still just kind of talking about the method of making and keeping it open. And as ideas come or as ideas go, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. And we've had occasionally people reach out to us and say, oh, are you guys recording still? You know, I do enjoy your episodes when they drop. And I said, thank you. Wait another fortnight and you might get another one. But but we do appreciate the nice feedback, and we're enjoying it, but there's no rush.
That's right. It's the one thing in both of our lives where we can say there's no rush.
Yes. We're not waiting for that money to come in. We're just doing it for, if it's fun. It's still fun, but it's definitely no rush. Yeah. That's the method. The method is not rushing.
Which, I'll tell you what, sometimes I kind of wish that were...
Especially with paint, right?
Oh.
Not rushing.
All right. We're going to take a short little detour here before we get into our actual episode topic. So, it is January 2nd.
As things are falling from the sky.
Tears are falling from the sky. It's also raining. The tears are coming from my face. I forget, as a Angelino, as someone who lives in Los Angeles, what it is like to paint when there is humidity and when there is rain. And today I made like such an amateur mistake, and I thought I was being really slick about it. I was painting a part for an upcoming project video. It was the last thing on my list to paint, and I knew that I needed to wait for the weather to be just so. And the forecast for this week says today is the one day of the week that there will be no rain, and it will be a sweltering 55 degrees.
Oh, get my shorts out. It's going to be so warm.
And so I waited it out. The sun was out. I actually saw it. And I started painting metallic on this 3D printed piece. And it laid down relatively well. I didn't have any issues with it. I knew that I was going to have to kind of bake it on to the part because it was still so cold outside and damp. And so I set up a like makeshift box with some cardboard and a space heater and did the whole thing and thought it was going so well, only to like bring that part inside many hours later to do a test fitting, only to notice my fingerprints in the paint. It's like a cardinal sin. I mean,
anyone who's worked with metallics, it's a tricky paint. It takes forever to cure, it seems, on the best of cases.
And let me qualify, too. It's metallic paints from a rattle can. Stuff like All-Clad and Alumiluster, like, those flash off relatively quickly and can be handled.
I mean,
much faster.
But I would brag during the summer to my other maker friends in other parts of the country, because summer is, it's like you go outside, even with a rattle can, even with metallics, I could paint something and it would like flash dry and be done in like a minute. And it was just so nice. That is not the time of year we are in right now.
No. And they're expecting that Thursday of this week will be like monsoon rain for our area. It is, you know, like God is laughing at my plans right now. I will eventually have to repaint this piece. The paint was still soft enough that I could kind of brush out my fingerprints. Like I was able to rub my finger over the spots with my fingerprint in it and soften and smooth it out. But then I ended up catching a corner and peeling off some of the metallic, which I'm still a little confused as to how that even happened. But at this point,
it was going too well.
And this particular prop is like, it's a small piece, and the part that is painted with this metallic spray paint is sort of the largest part of the entire build. So for it to look this way is just not going to fly. And so now I'm going to have to like figure out a way to repaint it and get it looking better. It's a hassle, but that is definitely one of those cases where having a little extra time would be really nice.
And time with good weather.
Have it. Yeah, well, yeah.
Although we will say it seems like our portion of America has dodged the collective sub-zero temperatures that the rest of the nation has been experiencing. So, I mean, we complain, yet it's still very not too bad.
True. Although I will say this. So, for the holidays, my wife and I went back east to Vermont. And when we got there, it was 10 degrees. And with the wind chill, was like -2. But it was super dry. Whereas in Los Angeles and most of Southern California right now, it's super damp. And so even though it's like in the 40s and 50s here, it feels colder to me here at 50 degrees with 100% humidity than it did in Vermont at like 10 degrees and zero humidity. It was the strangest thing. Because I was walking around there in like a t-shirt and jeans. Here, I've got like layers on. I got to wear a beanie if I'm going outside. It's like almost a little ridiculous. Because you do hear about people in other parts of the country that are like, oh no, it's like legitimately below freezing. Possibly even below zero. And we're like, yeah, it's 78 degrees on Christmas Day here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that was our little mini heat wave. I call it California cold when it's like 50 or 60. It's like, for us, that's cold. But for the rest of the world, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to recap a little bit about last year, although we also realized that our last three episodes were recap episodes about checkpoints throughout the year. So, Derek, you had a good thought of kind of talking about some new methods or tools or applications, different things that we kind of brought into our making this last year. So I thought that would be fun. So I'm going to let you go first.
Cool. Yeah. It's always interesting to stumble across products or tools or techniques that are new. Just because, you know, everything on the internet, like it all travels so quickly. And so, you know, it seems like somebody will have an idea for something and will think that they're like the first person to have come up with this idea, only to find out that like multiple people have all kind of had the same idea at the same time. It's a weird phenomenon, but it does happen. And so when I do actually find something where I see that not a lot of people are talking about it and I'm able to get my hands on it or try it, and have some successes with it, I'm always like really amazed. But so all of that said, the first thing on my list of tools or products that were extremely handy for me this year is, it's a solvent called IPS Weldon 16. And if you do a lot of 3D printing, particularly with filament, the go-to tends to be either like a 5-minute epoxy or super glue. And epoxy is messy, air quotes, messy. And super glue can be finicky, I've found. And this solvent, this Weldon 16, is like a weird intersection of the two. It comes in a tube like toothpaste. You spread it on your 3D printed part. You hold it together. It sets up relatively quickly. But it's like a tougher chemical bond than you would get with epoxy or...
Does it matter if it's PLA versus ABS? Is it like have to be a specific type of plastic or just a 3D print?
That is a thing that I don't know because I typically only print in PLA or PLA plus.
Okay. So we know it at least works for that, but unsure if it works for other 3D print materials.
Yeah. Although I would say, you know, if you're working in ABS, then I would just like make a slurry with, isopropyl alcohol and leftover pieces of filament and go that route because it's essentially the same type of thing. Like it's a chemical bond. But yeah, I'm working on a project for an upcoming video where I'm making a floor lamp where the vertical portion of the lamp is a moisture evaporator from Star Wars. Obviously. And the lampshade part is a R5 droid head. And so I started printing out parts of the droid head using Michael Badley's files. And I've been trying to, I've had like a couple different things where I've been gluing stuff up using super glue, and it just like wasn't kicking as fast, even with kicker, and the bonds weren't as good. And I don't know if it's just because I've kind of left that jar of super glue out and it's being impacted by temperature or exposure to sunlight or, you know, who knows what. But it just isn't working quite as well as it has in the past. And I was looking for something different. And in the process of researching this project, I stumbled across Happy Trooper's website. Happy Trooper is a YouTuber, but also has a blog. And they made an R5D4 unit some time ago. And they had recommended this Weldon 16. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm always open to try and find new ways to do some of the things that I've, you know, been doing the same way for so many years, and maybe this is like a better solution. And I am happy to say it seems to be.
Yeah, I've been seeing some of your Instagram posts and as you were working on pieces of the R5 dome, and yeah, it'll be fun to see that all come together. I know a couple makers who have done the droid Fragile lamp kind of design, and it's always an interesting take on just mating Star Wars with furniture, basically, which is really cool.
Yeah, well, I was looking for another project to do after doing that IKEA Calyx hack that I did a couple years ago, because it was it's fun to kind of like make normal things look a little bit more Star Warsy, and I've wanted to do a droid project of some kind for a really long time, and I'd gone through the trouble of printing out an R2 dome probably, I don't know, 3 years ago or something like that, and that project got stalled out, and I ended up selling the dome to somebody else who I think eventually turned it into an actual droid. And, you know, like I've said in many episodes on the podcast, it's like every week I'm trying to come up with a new idea and do something different. And, you know, the idea of doing something that's like a little bit bigger always feels, like a good idea. Like it's going to be more interesting to see a larger build rather than a smaller build. And so that kind of led me down this path, but, you know, thankfully, it's a very well-traveled path, and there's a lot of information to read over before I get myself in a spot where I can't get myself back out.
Yeah, and as a lampshade, you know, you're not having to add electronics or many other things. It's very cosmetic on the outside, so that sounds like a great project, though.
Yeah, it should be interesting. You know, I'm designing it with the idea of like it would be essentially like threading a needle. So I'm building all of the parts for the moisture evaporator that will then kind of slide over the top of an existing floor lamp.
Oh, okay.
And I ended up like finding somebody on OfferUp who had a lamp, and after a bunch of back and forth about, you know, how tall is it and what's the bulb arrangements, you know, what does all that look like? And they were like, you know what, I've had this thing posted up here for like 4 months. I'll just give it to you. You can just have it. You know, so anytime you can cut down on your costs, it's a good thing. But so, you know, now I'll basically just be able to make some parts, print some parts, and then just kind of attach them to an existing structure. So it should be interesting.
No, so, I can't wait to see it. That'll be a fun project for sure.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So what's on your list? What's one of yours for last year?
My list is definitely not going to all be tool-based. So I'm going to start with an application that I am going to hopefully be using a lot more this next year called Pro Movie. It's a iOS app, but what's unique about it is it has a lot more control and kind of information on the screen while you're recording. So it's a video recorder, mm-hmm. you know. But the main reason I purchased it was it allowed me to select different audio sources, specifically my earbuds that I had. I could say I just want to use my Bluetooth earbud as a microphone mm-hmm. versus the default, you know, built-in microphones that are on the iPhone.
Right.
And you know, it's got like audio levels and white balance and all those, you know, fiddly controls, iris lock and things like that. So, yeah, so the goal of that is just if I want to shoot something and use that as a quick and dirty microphone, it can, and I don't have to, you know, worry about it using room tone or something like that.
Sure.
And, you know, and it's fortunately, it was just a single buy. It wasn't a subscription model or something like that. So I nice. Have it and it's all done. And I'm also excited. I was finally able to upgrade my iPhone, which we'll be getting here later this week, or as I call it, my movie studio in a box, because that's basically why I'm upgrading. But yeah, so I'm going from a iPhone 7 Plus to a 14 Pro Max, which is
Whoa.
A little bit of a... So for comparison, the forward-facing camera of my new iPhone is the same number of megapixels as the main rear camera of my current phone. That's Ouch. How much technology has advanced past me.
I mean, as someone who also just recently updated... their iPhone, and who uses it almost more so as a recording device than a phone, I will say it is worth the spend.
Yeah.
I'm now very pleased with my purchase.
I went with the slightly bigger screen primarily because the specs are the exact same between the Pro and the Max. It's right. just the screen size. But I went with a little bit bigger screen primarily because if I'm using it as a forward-facing camera on myself, it's a little more real estate to be able to see what is in the frame. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, I just went from a 7 to a 14. So if that doesn't tell you about my iPhone purchasing habits and how many more years is going to be till I replace this one, it's worth, I think, the investment. And I'm trying to streamline things where... you know, it's just, it's easier, not that it's easy, but it's just, it's grabbing a really nice camera that's going to shoot clearly and really quickly. And then I don't know, a part of me wants to kind of try doing just editing with the phone, or mm-hmm. it may be if it's quick enough to just throw it in my computer and get that faster turnaround. We'll see how that all goes.
Yeah.
Reduce the friction is what I'm trying to do.
For sure. And I'm in the same boat. You know, when I started making videos, I was using my phone, and then I switched over to using a dedicated camera.
Like a DSLR?
Yeah. And eventually went back to using my phone. Mainly because... They do a better job at just sort of capturing everything and being a bit indiscriminate about it all. Whereas DSLRs are like, well, you've told me that this is what you want, and that's the only thing I'm giving you.
Right.
And
yeah, I have a DSLR, and I even purchased like a little monitor and mm-hmm. like a microphone. But they're big, they're heavy. I mean... I got beautiful depth of field shots, which sure. I can still do. It's not like I don't have it anymore, but I feel the same thing where it's like, I feel like this is what I'm going to reach for every time. Mm-hmm. And I can shoot time-lapse and I can shoot slow-mo and I can shoot cinematic or whatever. I mean, I was messing around with some of the iPhones at the Apple store. 'Cause it's like, I haven't held a new iPhone in ages. So it's just playing with their photo app. I'm like, oh my gosh, all this. I was like, well, what happens if my finger gets in the way of the lens? And as I purposely moved my finger in front, it automatically shifted to another camera lens, adjusted the depth of field a tiny bit, but it was basically automatically trying to make sure I didn't put my finger in the photo. And I'm like, that's crazy. But I mean, it's great, but it's, I didn't even know it did that.
Yeah. They definitely, they've got some tricks up their sleeve. That's for sure.
So that's my first new thing of the year that I have used once or twice. I wanted to record a quick video and get it online of a process I did on a 3D map. And I'm like, okay, if I just shoot this right now, literally just filming my screen and filming myself and getting it done, because if I don't do it right now and get it done and post it to this community, then I'm never going to do it. Like, it's just going to, I have to move on to the next thing. So I don't care that it doesn't have music. It's not that type of video. It's literally just a, hey, someone asked how I did it, and I'm going to take 11 minutes and explain it and then move on. And that app let me use my built-in or my earbud, which I think was a better mic quality.
Nice. So the second thing on my list, everything is a tool or a product, I should say. But the second one is something that I didn't think would be as useful. And now that I have them, I kind of kick myself for not getting them sooner. And that is little tiny 1-inch spring clamps. Like, we've all got the,
You can never have too many clamps.
Right. And there's like, there's all different kinds and whatnot. But I ended up finding these ones that, like, the mouth on them is only about an inch or so fully open. And
so for very small work.
Very
for
small. Sure. And the clamps themselves, I think, are only 2 inches in at their longest dimension. But I'll tell you what, when you've got like a weird 3D print or something that you're trying to piece together and you can't put a full-size spring clamp in there, and you need something that's like smaller than a clothespin, it's a great option. Like, I'm always surprised when something so sort of simple becomes such a favorite thing. But when you when you're printing in a lot of pieces and you need to make sure that things are staying where they're supposed to stay, having the right tool for the job really does make all the difference. And this is one of those things that's like a small spend for something that is extremely helpful.
Yeah, I have a couple of small clamps like that. I think I got them when I was working on the Death Star doors and needed, a lot of coverage. But I think I need to pull them out again, because I find sometimes when I'm clamping my acrylic pieces together, the force on the clamp that I have is too strong. And so it'll almost start to shift it and slide it because the glue hasn't set yet or set enough to prevent that. So I need just enough to add a little bit of positive pressure, but not enough where it is almost rearranging it as it dries, because that would not be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is one of those dumb things where, people always say, can you ever have, is there such a thing as too many clamps? And the answer is always going to be no. Because no matter how many you have, you're always going to need one more. So go get yourself some small clamps, people.
Yeah, or like Harbor Freight, I think that's what I did. I went to Harbor Freight and got a box of, they were like a buck or two each. So they're very, very cheap. And I'm sure they'll break eventually, but they'll do their job for long enough.
Well, and honestly, based on the kind of stuff that you and I both make, at some point you're going to get some kind of glue or something on them.
Paint on them, a residue.
Yeah. As well as they did when you first got them. And so, you know, while the idea of something being disposable in that way isn't great,
it's negligible.
It definitely feels better when you're like, well, you know, I got it at Harbor Freight and I got this box of 20 for $3.99.
Right. Well, yeah, well, that kind of goes into my second choice. And this was kind of a new packaging method that I did. Mm-hmm. So semi-recently, I've had a couple of my items that I've shipped from my Etsy store not quite make it in transit. And I take full responsibility on that. I was kind of getting by with good enough in my packaging, but there's still acrylic pieces and there's still glue involved, and you know, I can't control the last 10 feet or whatever UPS does to get it there. But I'm like, okay, well, how am I gonna rectify this? And so I have a couple of sheets of, you know, I think it's half inch, 12 millimeter half inch floor mat foam, and I can put that in the Glowforge and it cuts it really well. I have settings already programmed in my favorites for 11 millimeter foam for cutting and scoring. And so I took my vector files and whipped up some inserts for the types of boxes that I ship things out of. And now I'm going to always ship these things out with custom inserts that hold each piece in place inside the box. And, you know, there'll still be a little bit of bubble wrap thrown in there, but I think that should go a long way from the kind of shock trauma that could happen if the box gets hit or falls.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, I had to find a way of like, well, how can I do this, you know, cheaply so it's not increasing my shipping a lot, but also, you know, quickly, where I can just throw one of these pieces of foam in the Glowforge. It'll cut in a minute. Mm-hmm. And then I can, if I want to put a little contact cement and glue it to the bottom of the box, I can, but they're tight enough that it fits in there. But it also, you know, it's all winning all around because it looks better. You know, I'm sure when they open the box, it looks more custom and finished. And it also means I have less product I have to resend for, you know, due to damage.
Sure. Now, this isn't on my list, although it could be, but we've decided that we would only do three things. But it does sort of fit right in with what you're talking about. A buddy of mine and fellow maker, Nick Walters from Walters Works, was talking about using water-activated tape, basically like the same type of tape that your Amazon boxes come wrapped with.
Right. They come out of the machine, it goes over a moist thing and it activates the glue. And then
exactly.
Once you put it on, it bonds.
Yeah. And he'd like bought some of this tape and was using it on his packaging. And I just recently been like advertised about it again. And so it was back on my radar and I finally decided to give it a try after hearing that he'd had some pretty good success using it. And let me tell you, as someone who ships things out pretty regularly, the process takes a little bit longer just because it's like a little tricky. But I will say cutting down on the amount of packing tape, like the clear cello packing tape, has been really nice. And I feel like when the boxes go out, that the tape is not going to come off of them. Like I have had the occasion to feel when I've shipped stuff out with regular clear packing tape. So.
Yeah. When I took the plunge, not for tape, but for a thermal printer for the labels, that paid for itself. I mean, the ease and convenience. Because I think I was printing it on normal paper and I was manually cutting out the label and then laminating it with packing tape onto the, and now it's just hitting the button, making sure it's set in the right dimensions and it's right next to my computer. It spits it out. I slap it on the box and it's so, so much more convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two things are big improvements if you're doing any type of like regular shit.
I have never had one of those moments, which I don't know exactly what moment creates that effect, where someone will have like an Etsy store and they're like, oh, today was such a good day. And you see their machine and it's literally just like spitting out labels. And I'm like, yes. Did you do print? Is there a print all option I don't know about? And maybe there is, but I'm like, that would be crazy because then I have to find the right label. Like I'm only printing it until when I'm at the exact step to put the box together and put it on the done pile. Like I don't think my brain would function if I hit a button and it spat out 20 labels and then I had to keep them, get them straight. That's how things get shipped to the wrong place.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. I can show you where it's all at once we get done recording. But I'm with you. I do everything sort of piecemeal. Like once that item is ready to go, that label is getting printed. Unless it's something where I can batch things out. And
I was going to say, batching, like, okay, if there's 20 of these, this one item, and it's going to be the same for every single one of these labels, so it doesn't matter which label ends up where, that's the only case I can think of that wouldn't drive me nuts.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
All right. So that was my second. What about your third favorite of 22? So
my third, sponsor for my channel, Duramic 3D, is a filament company. And they recently sent me a roll of PLA Plus. Now, for as long as I've been 3D printing, I've just been using standard PLA. I tend to not use much else. You know, I think I've done like a roll of PETG, but generally speaking, I just go with what's easiest. And I will say that the marketing materials that you see from any of these filament manufacturers seems to be pretty accurate. It is a good middle ground between something like ABS and PLA in that it's super easy to run through your machine. It's not as finicky with temperature like ABS can be. It sands pretty nicely and seems to be extremely durable. And so I think at this point, I feel like it's safe to say that I will probably not be buying just standard PLA anymore. And we'll switch over to, you know, using PLA Plus for the bulk of the things that I print, just because of how much nicer the quality and all that is for the parts that I'm printing with it.
Yeah, I actually have a roll of PLA Plus. I haven't even taken it out of the sealed bag yet because I haven't had the time to recalibrate my printer. But yeah, I did the same thing where I kind of was like, okay, you know, I mean, it's a little bit more expensive than PLA, but I was like, I wanted to try it and see if it was better and because I need to do some serious dialing in. My parts are not adhering together the layers as well as they should. Mm-hmm. And so I know I should have a more stable print coming out. But again, it's just having the moment to do all of that and put all that together.
Yeah. 3D printing is one of those things where when your machine is doing well, it's great. You can almost ignore it. When it is not doing well, it's like you have to babysit every single thing. So, I've definitely been in your position, but yeah, I would totally, give the PLA Plus a go. I don't know that it'll solve your problems, but I will say that I've just generally been much happier with the pieces that I've gotten out of my machine using PLA Plus.
Well, for my third, favorite of 22, I'm doing an entire convention because why not? So I'd say, I mean, obviously I could say Celebration, but Celebration comes but once in a while. But Silicon, the maker-centric convention in the San Jose area, was so much fun to attend. It is really, it's close enough that I could drive to, you know, and dedicate a day or two to, to visit. I mean, I've always said I'd like to get up to like Emerald City or Rose City up in the Pacific Northwest, but that'd be a bit of driving.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a great time and I just went for one day on Sunday, but I can see myself putting this on my to-go list every year and making a weekend of it and, you know, bringing the droids along and having a really good time. So nice. I can't wait. I don't know. They haven't announced the dates for this year for 2023. I did get a survey from last year saying like, hey, what did you like? What did you not like? And they listed a couple of different options for like, would you attend if it was on these days? And I think some were like late August and some were like early September. Mm-hmm. And it also said another convention center that's near to the one it was at saying like, would you attend if it was here? So I'm getting the sense that they're kind of feeling out where it's going to be. Usually when things are a little more stable, you kind of announce the next year when the first year is done. And right. Not that this is a new con, it's been around for a while, but this was kind of the first year they've been back since the pandemic. So they're kind of ramping up and maybe they're growing because maybe they need more space. That could always be good. But yeah, I'm definitely, wherever it is, it'll be in that area generally and that time of year generally. But I definitely am looking forward to going to that this year, which means I got to get stuff done. I gotta finish this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that K2SO is in pieces behind you.
I mean, he's missing an arm and his hip is just dislocated, but that's nothing.
It's fine. Yeah. He can walk it off.
Nope. I mean, you literally can't. That's the problem. Yeah, no, and another thing we wanted to kind of touch on was some of our plans for this upcoming year, 2023, you know, because we always stick to our plans. We always hit every single one, right? No.
That nailed it.
No.
Every time.
Every time. That's every maker always hits their plans. But no, I think it's still good to have goals for the new year and kind of take stock and measure. Maybe this will be the year that I start that YouTube channel I keep talking about for the last several years, but step one was getting the new iPhone, so that's going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, look, progress is all a step forward, and at least it's not a step back.
True.
So poetic.
But I had a few things on my list, two things for the store and two things for kind of droids. I'll go through my list first and I'll let you pull the curtain back on Van Oaks Props Incorporated, LLC, DMD. So some of the things, I'm wanting to add to my Etsy store, the stocking stuffer planks did really well. And so develop some new ones of those, but also kind of branch that off into some sort of like party favor that could be customized for a kid. So same thing where it's a piece of MDF and you pop out the models and assemble them, but it's more marketed for like parties or, party favors. So
sure.
You could buy a batch and then here's a fun gift you could give to your guests as they leave. And I think that could be fun if it finds the right crowd. And then I'm also going to probably start a second Etsy store, because from what I've been able to glean, if you're going with something specific, it's sometimes better to have its own kind of store that people will come across and be like, oh, well, you sell X, which means I'm kind of expecting that you're good at X versus, oh, I'm a generalist and here's 80 things that are all under the same banner. Right. It's kind of how you're perceived is what I'm sure. going for. But at Christmas time, I made a 5-layer MDF and acrylic map of my cousin's Ironman race, and he really liked that, and it got me thinking that obviously you know, Iron Man is a trademark name and logo, but a race and a path and a city and a time and a bib number are all just data. So sure. I'm planning to make a handful of different maps and different, you know, that could be customized for racers. You know, the racers themselves could buy them to, you know, commemorate their race, or a friend or relative could give it as a gift, mm-hmm. have a little spot for the medal to slide in and display. And I think there's a market for it. I haven't seen anything specifically like that out there, but it could be another silo of laser cut items, which I think could be good, since I don't want to keep everything in the semi Star Trek bucket in case that goes away, because you never know. Sure.
Well, my list is a bit more abstract, I guess you could say. I will say this, because I'm pretty sure that anyone that listens to this podcast will relate to it. I really want to try and finish up a lot of the personal projects that I started last year, or the year before, mainly because I'm sort of tired of looking at the graveyard of unfinished product or projects.
You need room for that lamp. You got to clean it out.
I do. So that's kind of towards the top of the list. But generally speaking, I want to get better at what I do. I want to get better at making videos. I want to get better at being sort of a educational storyteller, which I think is a slightly different approach to how I've been doing videos for the past couple of years. They've been more so about sort of the, you know, here's all of the steps that you need. And I feel
like a how-to versus a story.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, story, I think people kind of make an assumption based off the word story, but I think the way that I'm thinking about it in my head is that I don't just want to tell you what the steps are. I want to tell you why the steps are important, or how I got to the decision that this was the right step for this particular project. And I think that is that's the kind of stuff that's always been interesting to me, and it's never something that I've conveyed to people who watch my videos, because I've always kind of had one eye on the clock, because I didn't want to make a 20-minute video when I knew it could be done in 5. But I think the sweet spot is to maybe spend an extra minute or two and to kind of fill in some of those blank spots to say, you know, I'm not just telling you to do this because this is the only way that it can be done, but to say that, you know, I'm doing this because of the following reasons, I think helps us all to have a better understanding of how things are made and, you know, the decision-making process of being a maker and taking on a project, I think will always be interesting to people.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean by story. I think a better word would almost be journey. You're telling the journey of the project and yourself as a maker in that project.
Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, the only other thing, and this is, you know, always kind of subject to change, but I kind of like the idea of taking on maybe some larger scale projects. You know, this lamp is definitely the biggest thing that I've made since doing the New Orleans style crypt back in Halloween.
You mean larger as in like volume, or larger as in like amount of time it takes to make, or both?
It might be both. You know, I've had a couple projects that have been like multiple parts, that I wouldn't want to watch an hour of somebody trying to make something, but I would watch, you know, 5-10 minute videos. But I kind of also like the idea of doing something of a bigger scale. You know, we kind of talked about doing the, IKEA bookcase Star Wars hack thing, a while back. You know, that was like a larger thing, and it was just a lot of fun to do something that was not like a little hero prop or a small detail that, you know, only somebody like me would really be into. So, yeah, I think I kind of want to do something bigger, either in format or in the scale of the project.
No, those are good goals. Maybe get to 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, or is it 40? We're almost hitting.
Oh no, it's 50. It's 50. We're right around the corner, everybody. But
so close.
Stop telling your friends about it now.
and for me, you know, besides the store goals, you know, I feel like the broken record, like K2SO upgrades, it's like, there's always upgrades. And I've even had some people say like, well, are you like letting feature creep? And I'm like, maybe not. It's more, I think he's almost six. Like I've had this, mm-hmm. you know, project for a long time, and he'll always be around and always be making upgrades. And I think like most upgrades, it's just kind of having a deadline, having like, obviously for me, it's like silicon. So, okay, that gives me X amount of months to do some of the updates that I want to do, to help bring more of the character out. And yeah, so it's just prioritizing, you know, he's always been, there was a bit of prioritizing and some upgrades that were for Celebration last year, and there'll be some more for this year. And then I'm, you know, because you can't have one project, got to have multiple. I do want to start on a new droid, and this is going to be my first remote control droid, because I'm envious of all my friends who can, as I quote, sit back and puppet from afar in a nice chair. I don't know what that's like. For me, droid puppetry is a workout and a lot of effort. But what I'm interested in doing is I'm calling him BD-6, and it's going to be a BD unit that is bolted standing on top of a MSE-6 mouse droid. So I'll have a single controller that will one joystick drive the mouse droid and one joystick drive the BD's head. And the goal is that something that can roll around but still puppet and interact with people. And I think that could be a lot of fun.
Nice. I look forward to seeing this all come together.
Oh, yes. Yes. This is total commitment right here. It's definitely going to happen. You heard
it here first, folks.
I don't know when by. Maybe I'll say by the time Celebration gets back to California. That sounds like a good timetable. Whenever that may be.
Yeah. Cool. Well, do you have anything else to add before we wrap up this episode?
No, I've just been still enjoying the laser. It's really, really fun how fast you can go from prototype idea to done. I mean, it could be a map. I mean, I made that map for my cousin in 2 days. I made the files in about 3 hours on Friday before Christmas. And then on Saturday, Christmas Eve, I just did the cut and assembly, and I just, with all the stuff I had on hand. But, I just love that I can think three-dimensionally enough to make those files and spit them out. And, you know, if I make a mistake, it's MDF. So it's a very inexpensive mistake to make. Yeah. So I'm definitely going to continue making new ideas and new things to sell and to create and to enjoy. Maybe try to get more back into some 3D printing pieces as it stands. But I feel like, you know, as Adam Savage says, every tool is a hammer. When you have a laser, like everything is a laser project. And it's like, sure, you start to think of everything in 1/8-inch increments. But it's not always the best tool, but it's a very fast tool.
Agreed.
What about you? Anything else for this new year?
No, just, trying to stay focused, stay motivated.
More podcasting.
Keep making things. You know, carve out some more time to actually have conversations like this with my friends. yeah, I think probably for me, the idea of like scheduling is going to start to become more and more important. And yeah, now's as good a time as any to really try and like commit to that idea.
Yeah, I bought a big wall calendar, one of the, you know, 3 foot by 2 foot, but it's got every month on it all at once. And mm-hmm. I mean, I have that electronically, but there's something about seeing it all that accesses a different part of your brain. So hopefully that'll help a little bit.
For sure.
Well, we thank you, great listeners, for sticking with us as we've worked through our new, slightly slower schedule.
We're worth it.
But we are still looking forward to podcasting more in the new year. Who knows? We might go to monthly or biweekly. No promises, but we know we'll chat every time we have something to say and or even are just catching up. And we'll probably have some more guests on because that's always fun to do every once in a while. Well, thank you for listening to Maker's Method. And as always, keep making.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.